Welcome to Believers Academy. We're so glad you are joining us in this series, How to Connect with God. You are studying Lesson 3, With God, You Are Changed. To get the most out of this lesson, you can download the accompanying materials and use them for further study. At any time, you can pause to look up scriptures, make notes, and rewind to catch up.
Hello, partners. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believers Academy Prayer Series. There's no time or distance where the Word of God is concerned. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. That means that the Word preached, as long as it's the Word of God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was then. Amen. So, let's get to it.
Father, we pray, we thank you for this broadcast today. We ascribe all the glory to the matchless name of Jesus, and we ask you to reveal yourself, reveal your word, reveal our lives and our callings in you, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking about the great exchange, what happened at Calvary, what Jesus did, and the things that we should be identifying with as believers. And you remember we said here we have the family of the world that is identified with Satan, identifies with the fall, identifies with sin, identifies with failure, identifies with a failure consciousness. Well, you know, I mean, that's just the way it always works out for me. I'll just never have nothing, you know. That whole identifying with that whole failure syndrome that began in the Garden of Eden when sin was introduced into mankind. And then over here is the family of God that's headed up by Jesus, the resurrected Lord of glory. Hallelujah. And we should be identifying with Him. Our identification should be with Him in our heart, in our speech, and in our actions. Praise the Lord. Now then, let's read several verses of Scripture today. Like I said, I want to share some things with you about this. Let's start over here where we started yesterday in Colossians chapter 1. First of all, we'll read from, let's read with the 12th verse, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us. Thank God we're delivered. Boy, that always just gets to me when I read that. Who has delivered us from the authority of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Of course, that's Jesus. In whom... Now, wait a minute. We've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, who is Jesus. We are in His kingdom. That's where we are. That's our citizenship. That's where we live. Now, hang on to that. Hang on to that thought about our citizenship being changed. We've been changed from the authority of darkness, or living under the rules and the command and the government of darkness, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. You remember that in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians? And wicked spirit in heavenly places. Living under that authority, under that spiritual lordship, under that spiritual government, bound by it, having to obey those rulers of darkness in our lives because we were a citizen of that kingdom. And as we'll read here, we'll find out we were aliens from the household of God, the kingdom of God. But when we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, in fact, that's what Jesus really provided for us by being raised from the dead, broke death's dominion. He gave you and He gave me and every other human being the privilege and the right to choose Him as Lord and choose His family, His life, His word, His way, to choose Him as head of and the authority over the spiritual government under which we place our lives. Amen. I tell you, the more we find out about that and the more we realize that we are the redeemed, And the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Praise God, we begin to say so with authority. We begin to realize the devil doesn't have any authority over us. Now let's read here a little bit further. Who hath delivered us from the authority of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son, in whom, or in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness or the wiping away of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Thank God. Think about that. We've been translated over into Jesus, who is the head, who is the greatest. In Him all things consist. In Him is all fullness. And we're in Him. So welcome to where all the good things are. Welcome to where all of the things were created for and by Him. Welcome to where they are. We have access to Him by faith, praise God, by His Holy Spirit. Now then, let's go over to the book of Ephesians for a moment. Second chapter. If you have your Bible there, open that up to that second chapter of the book of Ephesians. Now I want to point out some things to you. This says the same thing, but it says it from a little bit different angle, a little bit different viewpoint. What I want you to see from the book of Ephesians now is the fact that you don't become a child of God or an heir of God after you die and go to heaven. Dying and going to heaven doesn't have anything to do with becoming a child of God. It has absolutely nothing to do with it. You become a child of God when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and you are reborn, and you are translated from that family of the world into the family of God. Now, it's very vital and very important that you understand this. In order to walk by faith, in order to resist the devil, in order to let him know, I tell you, you ought to learn to just spit in his eye and tell him to get his hands off of you. You don't have any authority over me. In the name of Jesus, I speak to you. I stand in that shed blood of Jesus. I stand in His power. He delivered me from the authority of darkness when God raised Him from the dead, because you couldn't keep Him in the grave. You couldn't keep Him in hell. And He's broken your authority. And He said all power's been given unto Him, both in heaven and in earth. And when God raised Him from the dead, thank God, that's when He delivered all of us from the authority of darkness. Now, I've made Him the Lord of my life, Mr. Devil, and I've been translated out of your authority and been put over into His kingdom, and you can just take your hands off of me and my family and my goods and everything else that's mine in the name of Jesus. You just get out. So, the quicker you learn that, and the more you meditate on these things, and the more you begin to think about and speak about and act like that you are a child of the living God, and that you're already a citizen of heaven, you are a citizen of the household of faith, praise God, and you begin to act like that, the more and the wider berth and the more room the devil will give you as you begin to march through the land, I want you to know. And you become very, very interesting and very desirable to people that are in bondage and they're hurting and they're just in the throes of hell. And they see you walking free. And there's a lot of them that talk ugly to you, but in their heart, they hope you're right. So you don't pay attention to what some people, you know, call persecution. I mean, don't pay attention to that. Just go on and realize this world's not my home. I'm just passing through, and I'm going to take all of them with me I can. Praise God. Amen. Now listen to this. Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath He quickened. That's old English. Quicken is old English for made alive. Like you pull your fingernail into the quick. Ah! Whoo! You said, I pulled that into the quick. Well, that's use of that old English word. the quick. You got down in the live part. You got in there, boy, where I don't know where you could really tell it. Amen. So you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now notice this. It is signifying an occurrence that took place while you were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our manner of life in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Your nature comes from your spirit being. That's what you are. You are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. And your spirit is what is reborn. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. So now listen to this very carefully. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath made us alive together with Christ. For together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and hath made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, then as far as God is concerned, you are in Christ Jesus and you sit with Him in heavenly places. Glory be to God. Now remember the way He said that in the book of Colossians, who hath delivered us from the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption. All right, now listen to this very carefully. Listen very, very carefully. Mark this in your thinking. Mark it in your Bible. And hath raised us up together. When? When we were dead in sin and you turned, or what the New Testament calls repentance, or to turn around, change direction, you turned to Jesus and turned your back on the authority of darkness and said, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I receive you as my highest authority. You are now my Lord, and I conform to your will, to your life. And when you were dead in sin, He raised you up together with Christ. Now listen to that. He raised you up together with Christ. When Jesus was raised from the dead, the power that God used to raise Him from the dead is the same power, the same amount of it, the same spiritual blast of the Spirit of the living God of everlasting life that hit Jesus' spirit, hit His body, raised Him up from the dead. That same blast of Holy Spirit, everlasting life power, was administered to your spirit when you said, Jesus, come into my heart. That was done at that moment, and Jesus was raised from the dead, and you, when you were dead in your sin and trespass, has He raised from the dead together with Christ and made us sit together with Him in heavenly places, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast or brag about it. You didn't do it. All you did was receive it. Now listen to this. For we are His workmanship created. Oh, glory to God. You are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, or works of power, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, or because of that. Now listen to this. Listen to this. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. If you made Jesus the Lord of your life, and if you haven't, do it now. Listen. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember, or because of that now, remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh. Gentile doesn't mean non-Jew. The word Gentile means one without God. Now, there was a time when if you were Gentile, you were non-Jew, because if you were not part of the Jewish covenant, you were without God. That doesn't mean you couldn't have Him, because actually God commanded the Jewish people to be evangelistic and go to the Gentile and bring him into that Abrahamic covenant. But now they didn't do that, and they locked it up among themselves and said, no, we won't even associate with them. Now, we've done a whole lot of the same thing in Christianity, and that's going to have to stop. Now, listen to this. Remember, you being in times past Gentiles or without God in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand, at that time were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, say now. Say the word out loud right where you are. Say now. 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 Did you ever notice when you say now, it's always now? It always upgrades every time you say it. Now. 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 Now, I want you to realize it's right now. Now you are in Christ Jesus. But now, he said, now, remember, because you are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Now, because of that, remember in times past, in other words, before you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, when you were still dead in your sins and trespasses, don't you ever let anybody call you a Gentile. You're not a Gentile. You come out of a Gentile background because in just referring to the fact that you were not Jewish. But that doesn't have anything to do with the New Testament. You are not a Gentile. Don't call yourself one. Don't ever let. You're a Christian. You are a joint heir with Christ Jesus, and don't you ever let anybody call you anything else. Now, at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh or close by the blood of Jesus, for He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make of Himself of two one new man. What He's saying there is that He is developing and building one new race of man. A new species of man. Yes, He's born in the likeness of the one that was created in the Garden of Eden. But He's no longer lorded by that one. We no longer identify by that one. I'm no longer identified as a Cherokee Indian. I'm no longer identified as an Englishman or a Scotsman. I'm no longer identified as a white man or a black man or a brown man. I'm no longer identified with that. I am identified as a born-again child of the living God, a member of the household of faith. Jesus is the Lord over this race, and He is the resurrected Lord of glory. Our race of man is a spiritual race of man. God hasn't ever dealt with men on the basis of their culture or of their skin or where they were born in the earth. Had nothing to do with it then and now or never will. Never has. He has always dealt with man according to his heart, according to his spiritual standing. When God made covenant with Abraham and you were part of Abraham's loins, it wasn't the fact that he was Hebrew that meant anything. It was the fact that he had a covenant with God that meant something. And if you would come to God into His covenant and become what they called a proselyte, well, you could walk with God the same as they did. Now then, That's not my point here, however. Let me go on. The fact of the new race of man is my point. We're a supernatural race. We are born again children of the living God. And we come from all tribes, all tongues, all cultures, all backgrounds, praise God. Amen. I like what E.V. Hill said one time. He said, Jesus ain't no local boy. I want you to know, man, brother, He is for the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. Now then, that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, I've been reading all this to get out of this one verse of Scripture. Listen to this. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of God and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself, being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Hallelujah. Listen to that. We're no longer strangers and foreigners. Let me show you. Let me illustrate this to you like this. I said this, it was either yesterday or the day before. Remember this. You may have been born in some other nation. You may have been born in Europe. You might have been born in Central America. You might have been born in Africa. You might have somewhere else. But then you came to the United States. You migrated to this country. Now, when you got here, you were an alien. You were either a legal alien or an illegal alien when you got here, see. And when you came here, you were still really under the laws and the government of the nation where you were born. But listen, when you became a citizen of the United States, you're no less citizen than I am just because I was born out here in West Texas. I'm telling you, your citizenship is just as good as mine. Your vote will elect a president just the same as mine will. Hallelujah. What's happened? You're no longer a stranger. For all practical purposes, you got reborn. You got born again over here in this country, praise the Lord. And you're not under the dominion of that other one anymore. I don't care who they are. They can't tell you what to do. Uh-uh. No, my brother or sister, you're a citizen here. We've been translated out of the authority of darkness and its government and all of those evil spirits and everything they stand for. We've been translated out of that and reborn over into the household. We're no longer strangers, praise God. We're no longer foreigners or aliens to the household of God and the covenants of promise. No, my brother and sister. Well, don't get the idea when you pray you don't belong here. Don't get the idea when you pray you have to kind of sneak in and beg your way into God. Uh-uh, my brother. Stand up. Hold up. Begin to be bold at the throne of grace because you have rights here. You belong here. God Almighty paid the price. Hey, yeah. Boy, how about that? Don't that get to... I don't know what that does to you, brother. I mean, that preaches me happy. Glory be to God forever. Father, I pray for this television audience that they begin to realize who they are in Christ Jesus. That they're no more aliens and foreigners to the household of God, but we are heirs and joint heirs and sons of the living God. And we thank you for it because Jesus bought and paid for it. And we identify with a resurrected Lord of glory. We identify with the King of Kings. We identify with His blood and His body. He's our blood brother. Hallelujah. And God Almighty is our Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord, I ask you to reveal it to this congregation in this television audience. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
Whoa, now wait a minute. You ain't done yet. There's more in this series, so don't miss out. And don't try to jump around. Yeah, but I want... No. Just watch each and every lesson and learn and pray and pray and learn. And then learn and pray and pray and learn. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for studying with us today. Please join us for the next lesson.